Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, the number 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Richard Piper.
Thank you, Bob. This month, we've been looking at relationships, and we spent last week really talking about marriage. It is the fundamental relationship. Apart from our relationship with Jesus Christ, marriage is the fundamental relationship of everything. And we talked about three circles: a spiritual circle, a soul circle, and a body circle. And we talked about them as if they were independent things. Well, it turns out, of course, they are not.
Right.
They're really concentric, if you want to think of it in those terms. The spirit is the actual core of our being. And then the soul is dependent upon the spirit in order to have a proper view of itself. And then the body is dependent upon the spirit and the soul in order to be properly managed. And so in the marriage relationship, the point of talking about these things is to understand where God's love fits in and how that fits into brotherly love, friendship, family love, erotic love, everything that comes under the heading of human relationships. And we use two passages to base this whole thing. One is from Ephesians, where Paul tells us that once we've accepted Jesus, we receive a deposit of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing who we are, that we belong to Him. And the other out of 2 Corinthians, where we talk about we have been reconciled because of what Jesus did. It's something we receive in Christ the minute the Spirit is given to us, and that this reconciliation is the key to marriage. How do we, in view of our reconciliation with God in Jesus, maintain that reconciliation, that attitude of reconciliation between each other? And it has some fascinating ramifications. We got into some real interesting phone calls on Thursday. And if any of you were waiting on Thursday and we couldn't get to you, please call today, because I want to wrap this up today. Of course, most people get stuck on the erotic side of things. Oh, no, we're having sex. And it, you know, we had one call. It was an excellent call. The guy said, "Well, what do you do if you've already been sleeping with the girl you like?" And that is a reasonable question, especially in our day and age. And the Bible speaks to that. First of all, you stop. Secondly, you move out if you've been living together. And the reason you can do that is because you know who you are now in Jesus Christ. You're not defined by the woman you're with or by the man you're with. You're defined by Jesus. And then that definition works out to other people. It doesn't start with other people. And so if you've got questions along those lines, we'd love to hear from you. This whole thing about marriage is such a beautiful picture of what God does. In fact, you know, when Bob was here a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how, you know, this whole thing about marriage is what God uses to define the church.
Mm-hmm, right.
So it's an important issue, and we'd love to hear from you, so feel free to call. Tomorrow, we're going to start talking about kids. Nothing there, I'm sure, will get any calls going.
Yeah,
but today, let's finish up on this whole idea of marriage and what these relationships look like.
844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We want to hear from you, as Richard said, 844-322-2742. Someone wrote to me and said I was giving the number like a machine gun, so I decided to slow down. 844-322-2742. You know, friends, tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and for you guys who didn't realize that, I hope you do now. So just a word to you. You know, it is Valentine's month, and this month we're talking about this new 2-CD series by Bob Christopher called Inside Out, Marriage and Family. And it could be the perfect Valentine's gift for you, for your marriage, for your family. And we want to get a copy into your hands. It will show you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how to build strong and authentic relationships, both in marriage and in family life. Inside Out, Marriage and Family. It's available to you with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. And for your copy of this excellent CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, request it when you make your gift to Basic Gospel. You can do that by visiting our website, basicgospel.net. Just click donate on any page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, overnight or over the weekend, whatever it was, off hours, I guess you could call it, we had a question from an anonymous caller. Let's listen to that, and it's on the topic of forgiveness.
Hi, I was just wondering about forgiveness and how we can better learn to forgive ourselves for our sins, because we know Jesus forgives us of our sins, but how can we better forgive ourselves for our sins? Thank you.
Well, this fits right into this whole relationship question. How in the world can I forgive myself? I used to be one of those people. I mean, well, I know God forgives me. He kind of has to, right, because he's God. But how do I forgive myself? And somebody asked me a question once, and I never forgot it, although I've forgotten who asked me the question. And the question was, are your standards higher than God's?
Might have been me.
It might have been you. But I had to answer the question, well, at this point, I think they are. And that's kind of a silly response, because God's expectation is absolute perfection. We messed that up. Adam and Eve messed it up for the entire human race, and we have done a fine job of following their example ever since. Yeah. When Jesus died for us, he died for every sin imaginable, every sin that had been committed up to the time that he died, every sin that was committed up to the time you were born, and every sin since you were born, every sin after you die and several generations have come and gone. It was an eternal act. Every possible sin that had ever been or would ever be committed were forgiven in Christ. Now, right. You have to accept him. It's laying there on the table as a gift, but the gift is Jesus. Once you accept Jesus, you receive that forgiveness. Now, how do you forgive yourself? Well, you start with that truth. I am forgiven in Jesus. I really am forgiven in Jesus. If I'm not forgiven, then I have to ask the question, now what? But if I am forgiven, why am I holding myself to a higher standard? Why am I saying, oh, I can never forgive myself? Well, if Jesus could forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? Sure. That doesn't mean there aren't things that come as a result of the bad things we've done. We break relationships. If we break the law, we can go to jail. We might cheat and get caught on a test and fail a course. You might get fired at work. I mean, there are bad things that happen. But self-forgiveness is not one of those bad things that happens. I have to come to a conclusion. If I am a child of God, then I am a forgiven person. If I'm not a child of God, then I have no idea how this forgiveness comes about, and I'd better figure out how to become a child of God. Yeah. It's received in Jesus, and by faith, I say to myself, Richard, I know that I've blown it, but Jesus forgave that. I'm going to let it go. And as soon as I let it go, then the power of the Holy Spirit is available to me to change my thinking, to change my choosing, and to change my behavior. But as long as I'm holding on to the sin, I'll never be able to change. Let me tell you a quick story. I used to have several closets full of sins that I thought I didn't want Jesus to see. And over time, as I began to understand grace and the amazing love of God displayed in Jesus Christ, one day the Holy Spirit came to me and said, let's look behind that door. I want to see in that closet.
Number one.
Oh, no, Lord. We're not going there. He persisted and he persisted and he persisted. I finally opened the door. And you know what was in that closet? Nothing. Because Jesus had already dealt with it. He had already cleaned out that closet and every other closet I had. I was the one who was holding myself in bondage by not accepting the reality of my forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's why in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we implore you, we beg you, be reconciled to God. It's available to you. Just take it. Walk forward in it.
But good stuff. Thank you, Richard. And to this anonymous caller, we hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. And if you're listening live during the 3 o'clock hour, Central Time, we would love to hear from you right now. You can speak with us live at 844-322-2742. Of course, that number is available 24 hours a day. When we're not on the air, you can still call and post your question just as this particular caller did. Again, 844-322-2742. Also, we had a call from Monica, who called from Alaska. She has a question, Richard, on the Law of Moses. Let's listen to that call right now.
Hello, my name is Monica, and I am in Alaska, and I'm listening on radio station 88.1. My question is about the Ten Commandments. Moses was given them verbally by Jehovah. He came down and then went back up, and then was given the tablets. We aren't taught what those Ten Commandments that were written on the tablets are. And I was wondering why. Was that from Catholic theology? Is it just kind of handed down? Or is there a basis as to why, if it's written and we follow the written word, which is the Bible, are we not using that? Look forward to your response. And thank you for the program. God bless.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling. The law. Indeed, in Exodus 20, it says God spoke all these words, and he spoke the Ten Commandments to Moses. Later on, Moses went back up the mountain and received the two tablets of stone, and those stone tablets had these 10 words, if you want to call it that, that's really what it was, the 10 words of God written on them. And on then, you know, he and God were communing up there and all that, and then God said, you'd better go down the mountain. Things are happening in a terrible way down there. So Moses carries the tablets down the mountain and discovers that, you know, it's been 40 days, yeah, and everybody figured he was dead, and so they started, you know, worshiping the idols they brought with them from Egypt. And one of the great excuses ever given in the whole Bible is Aaron, who is going to be the high priest, looks at his brother and says, I don't know how that golden calf got here. It just leaped out of the fire. You know, it's been a miracle. Moses, when he saw what was going on, threw the tablets down on the ground and they shattered. Just, boom, million pieces. He had to cut out two more tablets and he went back up the mountain and God wrote it a second time, which was the third total giving. So the Ten Commandments as we see them in Exodus 20, and they're repeated again in Deuteronomy, are the same things that God wrote on the tablets. Okay, that it wasn't the law that we heard and then the secret law that nobody saw. They were the same, one and the same, and those tablets were kept inside the ark, underneath in a hollow place underneath the mercy seat. All of the regulations about sacrifices and cleansing and how to run their local government and how to get along, those were kept in scrolls on the side of the ark. So the whole thing that we've got in the Mosaic Covenant was actually God-given and recorded properly. Yes, various churches at various times have tried to change this stuff. Catholic Church has done it. There have been several Protestant churches that have played fast and loose with the law as well. It's what we do as humans because we discover we can't keep it. So we try to change things so we have a better shot. None of it changed, but it was fulfilled. Christ is the end of the law, the culmination. Everything the law represented was found in Jesus. And when he lived that perfect life of dependence, perfect dependence on the Father, and took all our sin upon himself, then that law was completely fulfilled in Jesus. Therefore, we're no longer under that law because once we've accepted Jesus, as we talk about here all the time, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. So our spirits are taken care of. He renews our souls, our mind, emotions, and wills. And then we act out of the Spirit's leading. So the Spirit, that is grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness. What the law does is teaches us that we are ungodly.
Right.
Notice the difference. If you have the law do what it was intended to do, it is a beautiful thing. God-inspired, God-fulfilled. Mm-hmm. If you let the Spirit, that is grace, do what he is intended to do, that too is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so you have God himself living in you, constraining you to let the love of God flow through you to others. Therefore, you're not going to be doing all the things that the Ten Commandments say don't do.
Right. Well,
that's how it works.
You stopped abruptly. So.
I did. I'm sorry.
Monica, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And if you have other questions, we hope you will call back. Again, 844-322-2742. That's available right now. Plenty of time on the clock. And if you're listening at the 3 o'clock hour, we'd love to hear from you. It's a live program at 3 o'clock Central Time, 844-322-2742. Friends, you know, for many years, negative forces have worked to undermine the relationships that are most important to us. And as believers, we have the question, what do we need to do to build strong, authentic relationships in marriage and in family life? Well, there's only one way to make that happen, and that is through the power of Jesus Christ living in and through you. In his new CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, Bob Christopher shows how Jesus works on the inside to give you all the necessary ingredients to enjoy strong, healthy relationships and defy those negative forces, relationships that are authentic and real. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is now available when you make your gift to support Basic Gospel. Request your copy, your CD edition, when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. Once again, another call that came in during off hours. This is from David.
Hi, I was listening to your program, and I really appreciate you guys helping the callers and being led by the Spirit. I really enjoy your program. My question is, when you leave something for your kids, you know, money or assets or whatever, would it be bad or a guilt feeling if you left some of that to an animal rescue? Would that be wrong? I don't know. You know, the kids are going to be upset about it, but I feel like I would like to leave a portion of what I've worked hard for all my life to give to charity, you know, a little bit to my kids, a little bit to St. Jude, and a little bit to animals, you know, to rescue. So I appreciate it, and I thank you again.
Thank you, David.
Well, I appreciate your heart for this sort of thing. The assets that you have and that you would be distributing via your will are your assets to distribute according to your wishes. You get together with a lawyer or one of the services that help you prepare for this sort of thing, and you decide where you want things to go, whether it's tangible things, pieces of the house or property or whatever, or money or stocks or whatever else makes up the total mix of your assets. It is your call and only your call. Of course you want to take care of your children to the extent possible. I mean, what parent wouldn't want to? But if you have it on your heart to donate to a particular animal rescue organization or to a ministry or someplace else, do it. Follow the leading of the Spirit in your heart and give the money where you want to give it. If that desire changes later on, well, then you amend your will. And the old will goes away, and the new will is in force when you die. You're going to be dead. What does it matter if your kids are upset? That's a crass way to put it. But this is your stuff, and you choose who gets it. Now, would it be worth communicating with your kids that here's what you plan to do? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you don't say, can I do this? You say, here is what I'm going to do. Here is how I'm going to dispose of my assets, distribute them among the various people and organizations I care about. I just wanted you to know. I have a feeling they won't be upset. Maybe a little bit at first. You know, sort of like when I'm kidding my own children about how I want to spend money when I retire, and you know, I want to spend enough money so I'm a burden on them. You know? Yeah, they give me a hard time, and rightly so. But generally speaking, this shouldn't be that big of an issue. You know, unless you're leaving it to a specific animal, I would not recommend that.
Yeah.
But to an organization that cares for animals, that rescues animals, I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Great question, David. We appreciate hearing from you. And a question from Regina, who writes to us from Dallas. Question today, she says, today my coworker said that he thinks most of what's in the Bible are metaphors and not actual historical events. He said he used to believe the Bible, but he's not sure now. My question is, can you be a believer, a Christian, and not believe what's in the Bible? Maybe he believes the gospel, but his eyes haven't been fully open to what the word says. Is this possible?
This is tough. If he truly doesn't believe the Bible, doesn't believe the Bible has anything to say, and that it's all metaphors, then even Jesus is a metaphor, and what would his salvation be based on? Nothing. He's not saved.
Yeah.
If he is saved, then there was teaching that he received at some point in his life that was not good teaching, and his brain finally engaged to the point of realizing that what he heard back then and what he knows now don't work together. There's a disconnect.
Yeah.
And a lot of people throw out the religious teaching because it just doesn't connect with reality. That doesn't make them unbelievers. It means that they haven't found yet what they need to be believing. The tragedy is that so many people will say, well, the Bible couldn't possibly be true because, you know, somebody when I was a kid in church told me that if I ever stole a pencil, I'd go to hell. Well, I stole a pencil when I was 13, and now I guess I'm going to hell. Well, I know I'm not going to hell, so that all that stuff is false. No, the teaching was false.
Right.
The Bible is true. Let the Bible be the Bible, and let the Holy Spirit explain it to you. Are there hard passages in the Bible? Absolutely. Do we understand everything in the Bible? Absolutely not. But there is enough in there, and I guarantee you that from a historical point of view, so many things in the Bible have been unequivocally demonstrated to be true that even when there are a few things that haven't been demonstrated to be true, you can pretty much trust that given enough time, if it's truly important that God wants us to know it's true, some evidence will be found. I remember there were stories about certain names, people mentioned in the Bible, that, well, that couldn't possibly have existed. Until 60 years later, somebody dug up a tablet someplace in some archaeological site that said, well, so-and-so was governor in such-and-such a town. Well, there it is.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, they didn't make that up. They were 50 feet down in the dig, mm-hmm. You know. So these things are demonstrable. The power of God is in the Word of God. Allow that Word to teach you. Allow the Spirit to teach you. Don't take my word for it. Don't take your pastor's word for it. Certainly don't take a skeptic's word for it. Look it up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
God is faithful. He will not leave you hanging.
Absolutely. Well, Regina, I hope that's a help to you. And once again, friends, if you have a question and you can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, you can still post that question by calling the same number. That is 844-322-2742. You can call it any time, day or night. Just call that number, or you can visit our special website, basicgospel.net/ask. Either way, we'll get your question, and we'll discuss it soon on Basic Gospel. Again, that's 844-322-2742, available 24/7. And basicgospel.net/ask. At this particular site, you can record your question in your own voice, or you can pose it in written form as well. basicgospel.net/ask. Well, Richard, excellent stuff on the broadcast today.
Thank you.
We appreciate hearing from our listeners, and
yes.
we truly you are the fuel that makes this program run. So we thank you for your calls and for your encouragement and for your support. You know, friends, as I said earlier, February is Valentine's month, and this month we are offering Bob Christopher's excellent 2-CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family. It could be just the thing for your marriage, for your husband or your wife. Families and marriages are basically coming under increasing attack, but in this new series, Inside Out, Bob shows the way to counter the assaults and to build strong, authentic relationships and families. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is yours as you make your gift this month, during February, the Valentine's month, to Basic Gospel. As always, just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, interesting stuff on the broadcast today. I'm sure it will be the best again tomorrow, so hope you'll join us then. Thanks for being with us today, everybody. Now for Richard, for Bob Christopher, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. Have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.